This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. I'm T. Shao Ik with Sharmila Gunnison and Tina Carmelia. Earlier in this hour, we discussed parents behaving badly in baby competitions, and then we welcomed the period emoji, one of 59 new emoji to be unveiled this year in the spirit of inclusivity. So to join the conversation today, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or call us at 03-7733-2900. And on a more sobering note, our third story is about the 47 Malaysians who have been detained in Cambodia. So they are believed to have been duped by a recruitment agency and for at least 60 days, but have not been charged in court. And according to Cambodian laws, they can be detained without trial for 3 years.
So why did it take so long for the issue to receive the attention of the media and Wisma Putra? To help us understand the situation, we have on the line Margaret Badus, chairperson of Sarawak Women for Women Society. Margaret, it was reported that 44 of the 47 Malaysians detained are from Sarawak. Why do you think they were targeted?
They are from various parts of Sarawak, you know, it's not just one place. Why? I think it's because of high pay. Because when the victim mentioned they were being promised like $1,005 for the job that they're doing, that I think is why it is so attractive to them, you know. And a lot of these people are very young ones. Some of them are from the interior part of Sarawak. Some are from the town, some are from the interior. But what we know is that they're looking for a better job, for a better pay. I think people are looking at the weaknesses of, you know, because some of these young people might not be exposed, you know. A lot of them mentioned that it's their first time being out of the country. You know, they've never been outside of the state. So people are using that as an avenue, you know, to trap them. It is back to being vulnerable, you know, because of all these factors.
The Malaysians were detained for allegedly being members of an international online gaming syndicate. But according to Julau MP Larry Sung, they were cheated by an illegal recruitment agency, which is believed to be a front for a human trafficking syndicate. How rampant is human trafficking in Sarawak?
Our Sarawak Women for Women, we have a lot of questions, you know. Like when you're asking me, why are they targeted? Our question is, why are there so many from Sarawak? You know, and then we would like to know, how were they recruited? Then are there any locals involved? Mm. What I mean is the operators, who are they? Who are the local people who are being used, you know, to scam these people? We are keeping tabs on what is going on because for Sarawak Women for Women itself, we have been doing a lot of awareness about anti-human trafficking too, particularly on the vice trade. Because we in the past, we have helped a few of those victims who are trapped, you know, in the vice trade. And we are also one of the inter-agency group on anti-human trafficking. Yeah, and we were working very well with the police, with the immigration, with the marine and so on. Yeah, but for this particular case, we have not talked to any one of the family members so far, yeah. But we are keeping an interest in it, like, you know, yeah, in what way we can support, especially for the girls, you know, the 10 girls, yeah, because we fear for them, when they're in such a situation, they might be lured into vice trade and things like that, which we do not want to happen.
The situation is still developing. What we know is that federal and state officials will be in Cambodia for talks on the release of the 47 as early as this week. What is your assessment of the situation so far?
When we look at the timeline of this incident, we were all shocked because I think people in Sarawak, we were not aware that this whole thing happened last year. They went in November, right, Tina? You remember in the news, they were recruited around November and they were detained in December, beginning of December, and Wisma Putra only found out in December, end of December, and most of the parents only knew in January. So it's quite a long gap. So I think we need to have a system, you know, in how these families can be informed and updated of situation, right, what we can do to help them. Right, like the legal process and looking into their welfare and so on. The high level of government intervention, And even our own chief minister mentioned that the other day, I think it was yesterday before yesterday, that they're going to send a representative to Cambodia to assist the victims there. Yeah, I hope they are treated well and treated fairly. I think from those letters that they sent, they found it okay.
In the meantime, Margaret, what is your advice, especially for young women in vulnerable positions, to ensure that they do not get victimized by trafficking syndicates?
Okay, first they need to verify and to identify who are the operators. How they can do that is, you know, to go to the relevant authorities. But at the same time, even though we say that, but there's a lot of people out there in the rural areas, you know, some of these kids are not really exposed because, like what I said earlier, a lot of them mentioned that this is their first time out of the country. Things are very new to them. They do not know a lot of things. So people who sweet talk them or putting out all those claims of high pay, and they may have heard about from friends who went overseas, sending back money to families from their high-earning job to assist the family, you know, those people who are from the low-income group. It's all the intention that all, you know, is good. But they fail to see that now, with all this technology, people can easily scam them. And one thing, we found out that quite a number of the family members mentioned that they were not informed where they went to, what company they work in. So I think there is already a telltale sign, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it should be something which they should be, if they do not know the name of the company, they do not really know who are the operators, then they should really, really check, thoroughly check, to make sure the company is authentic or not. The other thing that we would like to mention here is on the authorities, the relevant authorities, government, and those in the business sectors, they should be alert to this, to all these people who are very unscrupulous operators, who are all the way out to scam people, to get money out of people, and how to have an effective means of how to stop them.
That was Margaret Badus, chairperson of Sarawak Women for Women Society, who has been following the developments of the case involving the 47 Malaysians still in detention in Cambodia. The majority of the detained came from Sabah and Sarawak, many of whom are as young as 19 years old, and some of them were charged between US$100 and $200 to secure the jobs that they were promised.
It's very sad, but we're really hoping that the best can be done for, especially the young girls. So that's all the time we have for the show today. Unfortunately, if you missed any part of it, you can download the podcast on our website, bfm.my, or you can download them from our BFM app or Spotify. In the 3 o'clock hour, Juliet Jacobs will be speaking to Vaughn Hernandez on plastic waste. To take us out, here's Sam Cooke with A Change Is Gonna Come on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.